Log Talk Radio.
Yeah, what?
Down in Atlanta, there's a funny looking humor. He plays the rumble on the tuba down in Cuba.
Oh, when his apple sell an apple, but the chap would run to grapple with his humpa, 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 dippy burst into the boopa doopa doopa.
They dance the rumba to the tuba down in Cuba.
merry tune as we dance upon the green.
Come along, and join that happy throng
on this joyous Halloween.
That we are seen.
And everyone had better watch out
whenever we're
thank you. I like it. I need to get this. some company. So, that Bluto's scheme.
I think I'll do some spooking myself. Just what I need.
And you don't have to be afraid of ghosts while I'm around.
Tonight's lecture is rhythm, the beat, the driving force that holds our lives together. Without rhythm, your heart wouldn't beat, without direction, without moods, and without shadings. And so tonight we say, hip hip, chin chin, the rhythm section. Tonight we say hip hip, chin chin, hip hip, chin chin, hip hip, chin chin. We'll be right back. subject for tonight's lecture is rhythm. The beat. The driving force that holds our lives together. And so tonight we say, hip hip, chin chin, 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 hip hip, chin chin.
We'll be right back. last.
Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
It's an honor to meet you.
No. The honor is mine. Please, come. Sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice. Tumbling down the rabbit hole?
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
That didn't sound like a perfect metaphor for what we're talking about and what we've been talking about. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Or good afternoon, I should say. Welcome. As we once again take things to a whole other level, courtesy of your loving band, science machine, as close to anyone in the world. I'm your host, Mike Lewis. Thank you as always. It's good to have you. With me, my main man, T-Mac. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Sounds like up on Mount Kilimanjaro.
Actually, it's a little hut in New Haven.
Oh, okay. But, you know,
what Morpheus was saying wasn't too far from what we experienced this Wednesday. All we're offering is the truth. It's what we've been doing since 2012 and far beyond that on your shows and your experience. But sometimes folks can't take the truth. I thought it was a joke when Jack Nicholson said, "You can't handle the truth." But a lot of motherfuckers can handle the truth. That was made clear this week when John Gruden tried to pull his apology tour in effect in saying the shit that he said. He didn't even have the energy for it. He just said, "I don't want to talk about it." And, you know, having a few days to mull over that, what do you think?
Well, it's you know, again, see, stories like this always take stages. You know, we're at, you know, we jokingly alluded to the old Robot Chicken skit about the seven stages of death. And again, when a story like this hits, it always goes through a bunch of stages. You know, now we're getting sort of a little bit of a backlash. I see Marquette King has surfaced.
Yes,
and
we talked about
actually, matter of fact, I've actually seen more DeMaurice Smith sightings in the last 5 days than I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah, so, you ain't lying.
Yeah. But see, again, and I alluded to it in a basically, you know, I just a little aside to it when we did the field generals this week. You know, they can answer Black Lives Matter, and we're all in this together in every arena, in every, you know, venue or what have you. But until the mindset changes, it's always going to be. And I'm, you know, in a sense, all this to me, again, all this was just another, you know, not even so much a wake-up call, because if you're still getting wake-up calls, then just, you know, just go ahead and go back to sleep, because you just, you know,
no shit,
you still haven't gotten it. But this was just another reminder of why we do what we do, because whenever you always hear folks always sort of try to question what you're doing and why you're doing it, and even when it's coming from within, we're always painfully reminded of why.
Yeah,
and again, if you think that this is just another isolated incident in the long-standing line of isolated incidents since slavery or what have you, then again, you haven't been paying attention.
No shit.
It just, you know, it reinforces why we have to be vigilant, because the thing is, John Gruden is a symbol of all of these folks who are in the decision-making process of the NFL. And again, I find it incredibly ironic that he gets beaten by a black quarterback in his last game at with the Raiders.
No shit.
And also, and then also. While the backlash is going on, one of the more maligned black quarterbacks in the league is just having another, you know, signature moment on national television. But see, again, it just lets me know that, you know, karma's never late, and he or she has a hell of a sense of humor.
You ain't kidding. You know, I forgot about the Justin Fields aspect of this, because I was just happy that he had beaten the Raiders. But yes, how fitting that he gets his ass whipped by a brother. And the Marquette King thing, I think, is even worse, because King was a punter. I mean, he got one job, and he did it very well, apparently, but Gruden poison-tongued him out of the league. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's grounds for suing somebody.
Yeah,
but yeah,
and
of course, but he didn't make the he didn't make the best work environment for him. That's for damn sure.
Well, you have to remember, and again, we brought it up the other night. You know, he literally when he was given that, you know, two kings and a couple of court jesters ransom contract, the first thing he did was break down anything and everything Reggie McKenzie did to help turn the Raiders back to respectability. Now, yep. Reggie McKenzie has been, you know, has been one of the great foot soldiers. He was a great foot soldier on the field, and he turned out to be even a greater foot soldier in the front office when he was given the opportunity to to do some things. And to have someone whose credentials weren't even half as good as his to come in there and literally piss on it, it's
I'm glad you said that.
Well, it's okay. See, again, you know, what winds up happening, and I'm so grateful that we have the forums that we do have, because, you know, look, come Sunday, this story, you know, this story is going to be sort of put to the side, you know, because these news cycles run and whatever. They're going to basically, in their mind's eyes, okay, the story has run its course. Now we have to get back on the action on the field. But see, the thing is, it's still being, what he's done, what he has said, and what others have said over the years is still making policy. You know, the fact
that
you still have folks that look at that look at Lamar Jackson and say, he ain't all that.
Yep.
He's not all that. And see, again, it's the sort of thing where it's like a drug bust. You know how a lot of times you see in certain cities over the years where there'll be like a big drug bust in one of the cities, fill in the name here. And they'll have a big news conference, and they'll congratulate and pat each other on the back. And we got X amount of, drugs and whatever off the street. But meanwhile, the kingpins are still whatever. You may have gotten a couple of the peons, but you didn't solve the problem all in all.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Gruden. Gruden's just one guy. And look, I'm taking bets on which college job he gets next year.
Come on, I know
he's
you're
gonna,
right.
He's not gonna he's gonna bucket. Have his little. He's going to have his little, pity tour where he's going to go on and, at some point maybe show remorse or what have you. And then he's going to go back to doing the same old thing and the same old, philosophies as what have you. And see, the thing is, they do need to release the rest of these emails. I think the league also knows that if they do that, it could lead to further things that they don't want to do. Now for whatever reason, they outed Chucky.
Yes.
And we could speculate. I mean, I somewhat have a theory, but I can't really. I can't really put my finger on it because again, this is what I like to call an octopus story in the sense of there's a lot of tentacles here. It's not just, Gruden is almost a non-entity, even though he was the one that lost his job. But big picture wise, there's a hell of a lot more to this than people want to admit to. And I think that's one of the reasons why they want to bury it as quick as possible. Because see, again, we're supposed to be talking about the biggest season. We're supposed to be talking about the big ass season this year. To me, this is bigger than this. Especially if this story is allowed to grow the way it should. It should blow the doors off the NFL.
Should. And that's just one aspect of it. And I'm glad you mentioned Reggie McKenzie because I remember coming from Germany and coming in the States covering the Eagles consistently. And I ran into Reggie McKenzie. He was actually sitting next to me as we were covering the game. He was a scout at the time. And he was paying attention to little things like how many seconds it took
each unit to come off like to do a punt. I mean, simple shit like that that would matter in a game where time was everything. So he was very meticulous in his approach and stuff, and he was easy to talk to. So I wasn't surprised when he finally got a break and an opportunity. I'm disappointed, though, that he went and did the work, or as Bill Parcells said, he got the damn groceries, and all everything was ready to cook, and somebody else had the nerve to go and cook it. That's what bothers me. You know, and the Marquise key thing is even worse because how many other players get screwed like that for just being different? Has nothing to do with being, you know, outlaw or anything like that. You just rub somebody the wrong way for whatever the fuck the reason, and next thing you know, you're out of the loop.
And see, you know, the Reggie McKenzie story. I'm sorry, is Reggie or is it Raleigh? I always go back and forth with it.
There's two. Reggie and Raleigh, they're twins.
Yeah. Well, that's twins. That's right. You're exactly right. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, now, we know of how McKenzie got screwed. Think of all the other execs or former players that have, I always go back to our buddy Sherm Lewis. Because Sherm Lewis was basically the Eric Bieniemy of his time.
Yes,
you know,
he was. Mm-hmm.
Did all sorts of great innovative offenses and what have you. But when it came down to whatever, well, he really wasn't running the show. It was really Holmgren. It was really the, and he never got that head coaching job. They tried to say his age was a factor and all this other stuff. And you're hearing the same sort of deal now with Bieniemy. Now they haven't used the age thing. But see, now the implication is that he should go do the college thing. But see, think about that. Think about all the college coaches that have been washouts in the NFL.
Yep.
Our Lord and Savior, Nick Saban, Spurrier. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there have been some great ones over the years that were able to make the transition front, forwards, and backwards. But in recent vintage, you know, college coaches have struggled for the most
part. That's
right. And now the fact that they would say, well, you need to go, you know, get your bones. Because, see, then all they're doing is just creating more. Because, see, then they'll say, well, he wasn't successful in college, so why should we give him a shot?
Exactly.
Well, you gave Cliff fucking Kingsbury a shot, and he couldn't even win.
That's right.
At what's the
he
matter you?
Record.
The,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, Lane Kiffin has been given multiple jobs and what have you. Mm-hmm. Steve Sarkisian is basically a walking alcoholic, but he keeps getting jobs and what
that's
have
right.
you. But see,
Dennis Erickson was one too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But see, big picture. So much of what winds up happening with a story like this is that they'll just focus on the peripheral. They'll focus on Gruden. And I get that because, you know, of course, you know, with this, and this is where, you know, our brethren in the black press have to, you know, do their homework, is to go beyond all of that. Because the circus, see, contrary to popular belief, the stories have been out there. The whispers have been out there for Gruden and his brother. But
that's right.
Again, because of his stature and because of how the way the media works with white privilege, those stories got muted. And now only now they're getting a little bit of legs because now there's been some ironclad proof. I've always felt like the proof is always, not to get X-Files on folks, but, you know, the truth has always been out there. But it's just a matter of whether it's being given the opportunity. But that's the thing. That's the thing. See, the sad thing is come, say, the end of the day or come Sunday, they're going to want to, you know, package this up in a nice, neat package and move on to more DraftKings and FanDuel commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, and consider this. All this that's been going on is that they're trying to tell you that, oh, somebody might have been a little naughty. And again, his apology comes in the form of, I'm sorry I got caught. He only didn't say, I'm sorry I got caught is really what it amounts to. And for someone to come out and say, oh, yeah, well, now that we got him, let's get all the rest of them. You weren't looking for him. You weren't looking for him. How the fuck can you say, now that we got him, let's go look for him? We've been talking about how dirty the Grudens have been for years. And just the whole aspect of the racial animus that resounds in the NFL. And this goes all the way back to Kaepernick and even before him. And now everybody wants to play, oh, yeah, yeah, we got you now. Bullshit. You know, we knew about Jeff Fisher and what he tried to do after they changed the law regarding quarterback vulnerability because Robert Griffin and Colin Kaepernick ran wild, you know, the year that or the year before all of that was taken off. And both suffered from it. You know, Griffin got hurt and then screwed out the league, and then Kaepernick put himself in a position where he put too much stuff out there for folks to notice, and they screwed him too. But then we got to consider, okay, who were the ones that allowed Gruden to do this all in the mix of all this?
Yes,
so I can
yes,
only imagine
exactly.
that Bruce Allen will be the next person up to the stand, and whether he gets grilled for it or not, that's another story. But it's incontrovertibly clear that there's a direct path to all of this. And all the
Absolutely.
Other links in the chain don't want their shit out there on Front Street. So, yes, this
sure.
is why I'm, like, hesitant in believing that everything's going to come out in the wash. No, it's not.
No, no, they'll put out what they want to. And see, again, just to reiterate, when you know, whenever you have a consortium or a something like this, there are,
mm-hmm.
you know, the enabler, you know, it's, you know, the enablers in many ways are worse than the person that's doing the actual act because you have
right.
to have enablers. But, you know, we always use the analogy of Penn State. For Sandusky
mm-hmm.
to be able to get away with what he was able to get away with for many years, he had to have a criminal consortium around him. And with
That's
something
right.
like this, you definitely know whether it's Trump and his minions, whether it's the government as a whole, or whether
yep.
it's, you know, people that are trying to keep, 'cause see, you have to remember, if you really want to do the true history of the NFL, you have to look at all, you know, it's easy to look at the flowery stuff, the NFL film stuff or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And it's important. I get that. But you have to, but again, there's always an underbelly to that.
Yep.
You know, they won't tell you that, you know, Papa Bear Hallis basically, you know, made his life work
yeah.
to keep
mm-hmm.
Fritz Pollard out of, you know, out of the NFL. Now, Fritz was doing was whooping his ass on the field only
That's right.
and you know, I mean, you know, he was basically Papa Bear Hallis before Papa Bear Hallis, but of course
True.
You know, that's not going to be put out there for public consumption. You know, they'll give
No.
you a little bit of the story because they don't want to make it so blatant to you know to make you know to not put his story out there. But again, you always have to look at who's telling the story, you know.
Exactly.
One of, you know,
exactly.
one of, you know, when I was, you know, when I talk with, you know, folks outside of outside of the media, and they, because I get a lot of comments from folks in regards to our field general's report saying, why are you just focus on the black quarterbacks?
I just simply say.
Because they don't get the same sort of scrutiny that white quarterbacks do.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will respond back and whatever, but a lot of them just, you know, 'cause see, you know, it was always funny, you know, when, of course, when we first started, you know, BASN And mm-hmm. people are like, why do you have to have a black? Why do you have to have black athletes?
Remember
sports
that.
Network? Isn't there a white? Athlete sports network? Oh yes, it is. It's ESPN. It's Fox. It's SI.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever. But it's always funny that when white Europeans are allowed to sort of celebrate their heritage, whether they're German or French or what have you, there is no backlash. But if a black or Hispanic wants to for their heritage, all of a sudden people get crazy. We caught there was a lot of backlash this week where you had a lot of Italian Americans going off on why is it Indigenous Day?
Columbus was a murdering fucking basket. Everybody got mad. It's like, that's not what we told you. We said he discovered America.
Unless you're in Canada, of course. Well, actually, he founded Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, but I don't want to offend our Canadian folks. Yeah. But just the whole thing of him discovering a land that was already inhabited by folks, it takes that whole manifest destiny and white privilege to the nth degree. But again, to bring it back to what I think is, if they're going to really do their due diligence here, then there needs to be more brought out in regard to these emails.
Yeah.
Because again, if you truly think, because to me that's the thing that's one of the family. There's so many things, but the one thing that you need to understand is if you truly think that John Gruden is an isolationist, then I'll let you know that my application for a Grand Dragon of the KKK should be coming in any day now.
No shit. Yep. No bones about it. They always talk about the phrase open up a can of worms, but nobody talks mm-hmm. about the worms after they've been opened. And
yeah,
we already know
yeah.
there's two fat wiggly worms out there in space. They need to be put on a hook. One's Bruce Allen. The other is Jeff Fisher. And then after them, you got Jay Gruden. And whoever was in the PR department of the Washington Football Club during the so-called incident where some cheerleaders were sexually abused. And some was actually selling pussy because they were told either give up some ass or surrender your or you don't go. I got your passport. You're going to have to do what the fuck we said. Now, mm-hmm. there may be a whole lot of other ways to translate that, but the bottom line was this was sex slavery on the part of the Washington Football Club, whether they wanted men or not. It wasn't a
yep.
photo shoot, quotes. It was an excuse to get some ass. And some folks got some. And the NFL has been doing this for a long time. In every Super Bowl, you can guarantee that in addition to being awarded the city for that year's game, everybody gets the word. All the underground folks. And I'm not talking bookies. I'm talking the procurers, the pimp daddies, all the motherfuckers that think that they can make some money. They will run to the Super Bowl city, whether it's Atlanta, Miami, or whatever, and they'll have on their mind, piece of ass. Thank God Almighty, piece of ass. And they will take that shit to the Super Bowl and engage in the most devious of debauchery for a few dollars. They will leave with their dollars. The gangsters and the gamblers will lose dollars. Everybody will be happy because money's changing hands. And of course, mom and apple pie are busy masturbating over the pregame ceremony, and you get
I definitely stay away from that pie. I'll pass. Thank you. I'll just have some. I'll have some Jello.
Exactly.
Maybe they can't mess that up too much. But
just don't ask for any cream on the Jello.
Oh no, 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 because you're getting something, you're getting something whipped, but I don't know if it's cream. So it's yeah. It's part of that whole, you know, Americana and everything else. You know, if this is beyond mm-hmm. you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's all of that and then some, because mm-hmm. you know we saw, I think, you know, during the past football season that
yes.
they were going to, you know, pandemic be damned, they were going to get their Super Bowl this last year. And see, now
that's
that
true.
they've opened it up to whatever, now I forget, where are they, back in Atlanta this year?
Here in LA this year.
LA, that's right, Sophie, yeah, the Sophie Stadium, that's right,
yeah.
And they keep telling you, did you know it costs X amount of dollars to build that? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you keep fucking telling me, sure, I can retain stuff, you know, it's like We Are the World, I liked it the first million times I heard it, but if I hear it one more time, someone's losing a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and like you always say, yeah, we're telling you how much the stadium costs as far as X dollars are concerned. But in terms of how much money we're going to make, we're going to make X.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sure. You know, they got a Super Bowl. I'm sure. At some point, maybe say like the Pac-12 championship game will be played there. And
mm-hmm.
maybe they'll get a bowl game or something to that effect. I'm sure they'll play the national championship playoff there at some point. You know, they'll prop it up like they do so many of these new corporate entities. And again, you know. The debauchery and what happened. Yeah, like LA needs more debauchery, right? If we didn't get you the first time, we're damn sure gonna get you for Super Bowl week.
Yep. Oh boy. Well, let me turn to a more positive story that we saw. We are both fans of Dawn Staley and the fact that she took our opportunity and made the most out of it in creating a strong basketball program for the University of South Carolina women's program. And now she gets to reap the rewards of her efforts as the Gamecocks have offered her a pretty sweet deal, bro.
I think she already signed it, did she not?
I believe she did, yes.
Yeah.
And good
yeah.
for her.
Well,
she's earned
it. And see, the thing, you know, the thing is, you know, she's done everything right along the way. And remember, they weren't really a power. You know, they were sort of a burgeoning power when she got there, but she's definitely has taken them to a whole different level now. And the good thing is now, like you said, she is reaping the rewards of it, and rightfully so, because you know, she hits all the check marks. You know, she's a former player, so she knows.
Yeah.
You know, she knows her way around. She can recruit, as we've been able to see, and you can see the fruits of her labor in the WNBA with Aja Wilson and others, and even more. And it's good. And see, it's good for women's basketball. Now, again, I'm a little biased because, you know, I'm basically within a stone throw from stores, and it's good to be able to see other teams, you know, put themselves on the map, because I think it bodes well for women's basketball. And see, there's other Dawn. What's good is that there are other Dawn Staley out there. You know, we saw that in this year's final. When you had two former Black NBA WNBA players lead their team mm-hmm. to the championship to the championship game, and
sure.
What's great is there's now look, there have been folks, of course, before. We all the first person who comes to mind with all of this is Steve Vivian Stringer, who basically was who basically is the great grandmama of all of all of these women. And what's good is they've left they're going to leave the game, you know, they've left the game in good hands. And Dawn is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there's so many other, and it's not just the white colleges, of course, with the HBCUs. There have been, you know, tons of great women coaches over the years, you know, with like the Vanessa Taylors and other ones, there's other names who escape me right now. Miss Bibbs from Grambling comes to mind as well. But there's just so many other women out there who have been doing the thing, and they've had to do it sort of in relative obscurity. But now it's great to see that somebody like Dawn is finally getting their due. And it's basically, you know, it's, you know, she's put in the work and she's been allowed to reap the benefits. And at the end of the day, that's all you ask. And see, the most important thing, and it's taken for granted, she was given the opportunity. Because see, again, it goes back to the whole Gruden thing. It's about being given opportunities. You know, the thing that scares most racists is that they don't want to have a level playing field because they know in their hearts if the playing field is level, then they're inferior. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing of prejudice and racism. It's fearing the unknown. Also not wanting to have a level playing field. Again, when you look at his words and you look at his actions, he was more upset that there was going to be a level playing field, and that again, they're always quick to tell you, you know, you pull up your bootstraps and all that other stuff.
Oh yeah,
you
can strangle yourself with them.
But when somebody's holding on to your damn boots, how the hell do you expect them to whatever?
Especially, even worse, you may not even have any boots. They stole them.
Exactly. And the thing is, they don't even want to follow their own mantra, because my thinking is, if there's other people that are going to come into the league, that means you've got to work harder. But see, they don't want to do that. God forbid I have to do a little bit more to keep my little piece of the pie going.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And let's not make any light fact about knowing that you did the work like that, the grunt work like Reggie McKenzie did and others before him. Now it's like these sons of bitches like Gruden, like the Grudens and Bruce Allen and others, who feel they were born on third base, have the arrogance to believe that they have a right to steal home.
Sure.
And that's what bugs me. That's what bugs me even more. That they'll look at you and they'll say, "Well, you know, I'm supposed to do this." Now, people won't say that Tim Tebow's racist, you know, and you can have your own conclusions about that. But Tim said straight up, you know, "I'm a white quarterback. I want to be a white quarterback," and he said that for years until the noise died down. And the noise died down because he couldn't fucking play at the pro level.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, everybody decided, well, yeah, he's all that, but he's not a racist. And he may well not be. But the fact that he had the arrogance to say what he said with regard to that, like, I need to be a quarterback. I don't want to be anything else. Now, Tyrod Taylor says it out of necessity because he wants to work for the opportunity. He says is that I don't really give a shit how good or how bad I am, you know. I'm an icon in America, and I haven't done anything yet. He's so iconic that his coach wanted to give him a fucking contract as a tight end 10 years after the fact just so he could hook him up. You know, how different is that from any other patronage move that we've seen? Or anybody else saying, "I know a guy who'll do this, blah, 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 get along, go along." All that. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, even more so. And see, again, over the years, we've seen even lesser things. I saw something, you know, I watched some of these things on YouTube, but he's really do behind the stories things. You remember the quarterback, you know, journeyman quarterback, you know, Bob Lee?
Yes.
Back in the day, you know, with the Vikings, Falcons, Rams, a few other teams.
General Leeson. I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now he went to University of Pacific, you know, that big football powerhouse, if I remember correctly. Now, he was basically drafted because a guy saw him throwing on the sidelines in an all-star game.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, he looks good doing that. Let's draft him. Now, exactly. Now, Lee went on to have a decent career. You know, he was mainly a backup. You know, he had his moment and what have you. But see, here's the thing. His career was he was given an opportunity to have a career literally on a humbug.
That's
meanwhile,
right.
There are so many great players. I think of, you know, we always think of guys like Otis Dickey. Guys like Bruce Eugene, who wasn't even given that much of an opportunity. So many other players over the years, black players over the years, black quarterbacks specifically, that weren't given half of those opportunities. They were literally given, I mean, it's even beyond, I mean, what's beyond a cup of coffee? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, Chris Rock, I'm thinking like Chris Rock, oh, brother, just pour it in my hand for 25 cents.
There
you
go.
Know?
How much for
they
a
weren't even. Just one rib. Just one rib. Just one rib. That's all we want. You know?
One rib.
But not even given half the opportunity. That's the thing. Because end of the day, it's about being given opportunity, and that's why we applaud when folks like Dawn Staley get their due, because nothing was handed to her. She earned everything. She earned it when she was playing it at UVA. She earned it when she was playing for the WNBA. And I remember when she, you know, got, was it Temple, her first gig?
Yes.
Or
it was
one
Temple.
Of them? And, you know, she turned Temple around. Well, Temple, you know, women's basketball had been somewhat of an afterthought down there. But now, because Dawn was there for a hot little minute, they've got a little bit more prestige, you know, and now there'll be other women who have done what Dawn has done and will say, you know what, if she can do it, I can do it too. If given the opportunity, and everything is always prefaced with if given the opportunity. And see, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, to be given the opportunity. We know that Jackie Robinson may not have been the most talented of the Negro League players. But thankfully, he was given the opportunity. Now, it is a shame that guys like, you know, Josh Gibson and others weren't given the opportunity. But, you know, at least, you know, at least it did open the doors for some folks. And and again, that's all you want. But see, unfortunately, you've got folks out here that still don't want folks to even be given the opportunity.
No,
therein lies the problem.
It's a bigger problem than one thinks. Now you talked about how the NFL is hyping this season up, and if we look at the schedule, and now I'm speaking specifically about the Field Generals. Lieutenant Jacoby Brissett will go over to London at 6:30 in the morning, our time, and play.
Tua is going to be back. They've already announced that Tua is going to be back.
Tua is back. All right, either way, one of the Field Generals will be holding the fort against the London Jaguars or the British Jaguars, whatever they want to call them, the UK Jaguars, and owner Shad Khan. Now, they're 0-5, and I think – if everybody's being honest, they knew they were going to be 0-5. Mm-hmm. But what they were hoping for was that they would be like 2 and 3 at this state, so they could say that, well, you know, young Lawrence is coming along and all the other shit that goes with it, so they mm-hmm. can make a case. Because then they could say the coach is doing his job. But right, when you're 0-5, they'll say it's the quarterback's fault, when they don't want to point the finger at the coach, mm-hmm. when it really is the coach's fault.
They want to, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, if England should declare war on the United States, you know, around about 10:30 tomorrow, we'll definitely understand why. Because I think even mm-hmm. they're tired of these matchups. Now, last week they gave them the Jets and the Falcons, and now this week they get the Dolphins. They get ironic, the Battle of Florida being played in Wattensburg's stadium, I believe it's called.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if we were British brothers, now I have to say 1 year. Tell me what else going on here? Our blooming schedule sucks.
Mm-hmm. I can't blame you, mate.
Mm-hmm. Cause, I'm telling you.
Yeah, because see, they literally are just like, hey, we, you know, put this way. They're basically listening to what the Queen said. You know, let them eat cake. But at this point, they're getting fruitcake. They're getting 2-year-old fruitcake with these matchups. Mm-hmm.
No shit. And speaking of fruitcake, this is gonna get even more dismal because this is gonna spread the Germany. I can tell you that for real. Now, Germany has been a hotbed for American football for years. There are several places in Germany where American game could flourish because it's always been there. You know, my background with the Dusseldorf Panthers and other teams like that, there's always been a strong best for American ball. And there are a lot of American fouls over there. I know my boss, who created Blitz Magazine, was one of them, and he played for mm-hmm. the Panthers. So now we've got a situation where they're going to show off a game in Germany. The stadium is there, so it's not like they got to make anything up. So probably Dusseldorf, maybe Cologne, maybe Munich down south. But they're going to have a game in Germany. It's just a matter of which city and when for it to count. Because, they haven't stopped thinking about expansion. That was one of Goodell's number one tasks when he came into the league. He wanted expansion.
Yeah, well, that NC. When they had the ill-fated, you know, World League of American Football, that was mm-hmm. that was supposed to be the sort of litmus test as to whether they could, because see, they already had, I believe they still, I know a lot of places, you know, they still pipe in the games down there. I don't think they give them the full games live, but they have like a weekly, I think they do
a highlight sort of package. Like,
a la, you know, NFL films. In a sense, to sort of what the appetite. Now, I'm sure that they get some folks that buy the Sunday ticket thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like you see with the NBA, you know, you can watch stuff online and everything. You know, and all
the
these sports basically
slow to do that. Yes, they have. Mm-hmm.
What I always like to remind folks is that it was the NBA that basically started all of this, because they put NBA
mm-hmm.
TV out there, and they opened it up to, and it's given them a huge audience. Now, they don't play as many games overseas as they used to, but you still have, you know, prominent players that will go over there and have camps and what have you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why when you had the little controversy over in China last year, the NBA sort of, you know, not last year, but a few years back, they sort of tried to look the other way because, hey, you messing with our bucks here. You know, we can't,
exactly.
you know, we can't,
with the money.
We can't,
can't
be
have
money,
that.
You know? mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was always, I've always found it interesting is that, you know, they're upset that, LeBron didn't say anything derogatory in regards to that. Now, they've mm-hmm. not be, most of the time, they're trying to tell him to shut up and dribble everywhere anyway. But the one,
how
all of a sudden
that?
Now, you know, all of a sudden now they wanted him to be, you know, Henry Kissinger and Martin and Dr. King all at the same time.
Exactly.
But then he turned. But then he turned Harpo Marx. Then he turned Harpo Marx on their ass, and they, you know, weren't, they weren't too cool about it.
Without blowing the horn. So, given what we've seen from Gruden and the actions of the league, Sunday's game should be pretty interesting. The Raiders are going to play the Broncos. Now, Teddy Bridgewater has stepped his game up. He seems like he's been more aggressive. He led the Broncos to a 3-0 lead before they lost their last couple of games. The last one, really heartbreaking, interception in the end zone.
They were down big, but they came back and basically, you know, came up short against the Steelers.
They stormed back. So now Raiders get the Broncos in another interesting game. The Cardinals, the 5-0 Cardinals, go up against the very underachieving quarterback in the Cleveland Browns, who's blessed with the best running game in the league. And what will Geno do against the Steelers when they go to Pittsburgh and play them? I think out of the field general's game, these are three intriguing ones that everybody's going to pay attention to. They'll be looking out their eye on the style, because the marquee game is probably Chargers against Raiders, especially after what General Jackson did. But these are the games you can kind of peek and see what's going on.
And already you've had a couple of the talking heads say that Herbert is clearly better than Jackson. And, it's like, really? I mean,
exactly.
Herbert hasn't even been to the postseason yet, but he's already, but clearly he's so much better than Jackson. But that's it again, that, you know, and again, we're not surprised
he's
by
never been
the
MVP. He's never been MVP, but he's so much better than Jackson. Isn't that interesting? Yes.
Yeah. And
as Ricky McCormick would say, it's just so ridiculous. Yeah, it is fucking ridiculous.
And see, fucking here's the thing. I genuinely like Herbert. I think he's going to be
a good quarterback. I think he's got school.
Exactly. Clearly, he's got some game. He has some decent weapons for the most part. So, on the surface, he looks like he was. But see, it's never enough. They have to have him to be bigger than life, bigger than God. And it's whatever, you know. But, they're going to, you never can go with what the game that mainstream media is pushing, because, again, There's the agendas and the hidden agendas and what have you.
Right.
Again, this is why we do what we do, is that we give it so that people look at it a whole different way. The thing that's unmistakable, and even the league doesn't even still is sort of not noticing it. I literally wait until Sunday to see who's playing now, because I only watch games with black quarterbacks in it, and I don't have a problem saying that.
Yeah.
If I have to watch the league as a whole, I usually do red zone or what have you. But I wait until Sunday or the day before, and I'll be like, okay, let me see who's playing. And you look at the matchups and whatever, and see every week, the field generals are prominent games that are going to be seen by the majority of the country. They're usually either the Sunday night game or the Monday night game, or in this instance, both. Now, last week, all three of your nationally televised games had four.
And the brothers, that's right.
But playing, you had the Seattle game where you saw, Russ and Geno doing their thing, and then Sunday night, You saw the Chiefs, you know, get beat. Their sloppiness caught up to them, but that's a whole other story. And then, of course, Monday night you had the Lamar experience. So
exactly.
Even
like that.
Even though they literally and figuratively don't want to acknowledge what these guys are, even they have to realize that it's still putting asses in the seats and bucks in your pocket.
How about that? Wouldn't you like to know how many jerseys of Lamar Jackson are being sold as opposed to Mahomes, as opposed to Wilson, as opposed to pick a field general? You know, they don't talk about marketing in regards to the brothers, but I would really love to know, you know, because we see who's at the top really of the food chain in terms of skills. And are the American consumers so arrogant that they wouldn't recognize? Now, in a place like Baltimore, given the pedigree, what's happened to them in Indianapolis leaving, with the Mayflower Vans leaving and shit, you know, I would love to see 8 jerseys like I would have seen 19 jerseys for Unitas when they were playing out there on 33rd Street. I've had the pleasure of being there.
Oh, trust. They're there.
Yeah.
They're definitely there. But see, just as an aside, now look, I buy a lot of stuff online. I try to be careful because I know that, you know, it's a hacker's paradise out there, so you have to really, you know, be careful with your encryption and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting when you go to, like, you know, I you know, full disclosure, I've gotten a lot of stuff over the years with I believe it's called Fanatics, fanatics.com. I think we see their commercials couple times, you know, if you're watching the games, whatever.
Yes.
And you know, they have all the licensed merchandise. Matter of fact, I just got my sister a Denver Bronco hoodie. She's been trying to get a Denver for her birthday. And I literally just got it for her the other day, and she's still, yeah. I mean, you know, I'd always heard her scream before, but I never heard her scream as much as I did when she got that thing. But that's another story in and of itself. But it's interesting how, you know, when you go, like, if you go look for a jersey, just like when it was announced that, you know, Wilson was going to be out.
Yep.
I basically just put in a Google search, Geno Smith jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that his Jets jersey kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I modified. I said, okay, Geno Smith Seahawks jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that damn Jet jersey kept coming up.
Oh, wow!
But what's really funny now? You know, you can get a Brady jersey. You know, you can get an Aaron Rodgers jersey, you can get a Mahomes jersey, you can get a Jackson jersey. But see, in a lot of instances, if it's a black quarterback,
they don't care.
Well, see, here's the thing. In a lot of instances now, what I've seen is if you put in, like, you know, a specific, you know, player or whatever, a lot of times what will happen is you'll get a jersey, but there'll be no number. It'll be the team's logo instead of, you know, Vic 7 or Jackson 8. Now, I have to admit, I have seen a lot more, you know, Lamar Jackson jerseys are more prominent now than they were even when he won MVP. Mahomes, you can get a Mahomes jersey pretty easily. You can get a Russell jersey. You can get a Dak jersey because, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact, even homeless people wear the cowboy stuff, but that's a whole other story in and of itself. But, you know, there's so many, like, retired players. the crazy thing is, Mike, you know, you mentioned Unitas. While there are a lot of Jackson jerseys, it's probably easier to get a Johnny U jersey than it is a Lamar jersey in some instances.
Yeah, I believe that. No, no, no. I mean,
and no disrespect to Johnny U, because again, yeah, and again, because see, when they talk about the whole GOAT quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you better put his name in the conversation.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. But yes, you're right, and the marketing aspect of this bothers them because they have to consider that. They couldn't just say that, oh, if you want a Mahomes jersey, here's a generic Chiefs jersey. People want Mahomes and the number 15 on the back of that jersey, and they know that. So they have to further discern their strategy regarding promotion by making sure they got it right. Mahomes is the MVP. Yeah, he deserves his name on his jersey. Jackson's won. He deserves it. You know, Wilson won a Super Bowl. He deserves it. So you can have all the fan favor that you want, but if you don't have a template to work with, it makes no sense. And,
absolutely.
Yes, we're going to see number 10 jerseys in Los Angeles for Herbert because people can see he's got potential. He's excited. And he can ball. I have no beef with that. But I couldn't see the same vibe for a Baker Mayfield jersey. I'm like, so fucking what? The guy can't play. Now, if I was born in Cleveland and ate dog biscuits and all that other old shit, yeah. Oh, he's our quarterback, blah, 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 you know, like that.
Uh-huh.
Like even
mm-hmm.
that,
tough,
people
tough,
are crazy
tough,
for Bernie Kosar, even though he has
mm-hmm.
never won one
before. Mm-hmm. Well, in this, now, excuse me, within the city limits, there's also,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you see, I root for that National League team in Flushing. I finally got a Dominic Smith jersey. Now,
okay.
They got Jacob DeGrom jerseys all over the place and Pete Alonso jerseys all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I even saw, you know, Baez jerseys after the trade, and I'm still seeing Baez jerseys to a certain extent. But I literally had to go to, like, not a underground place, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I literally had to go to like sort of everything has to be under MLB, you know, guidelines, of course. But
right.
I had to go to a few places before I could get a damn Dominic Smith jersey. Now, of course, there'll be folks
mm-hmm.
saying, "Why you want a Dominic Smith jersey?" That's why I want a Dominic
mm-hmm.
Smith jersey. You know?
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. You know, you would think that with all the marketing and so-and-so and what have you,
yeah.
that it would be somewhat easier to do that. Now,
mm-hmm.
NBA, I think I know NBA is what, you know, although for the life of me, I've been trying to get a Willis Reed jersey forever,
wow.
and I can't get I think the only place that I could actually get it, there's a place, I think if anybody that's familiar with the Garden, there's
mm-hmm.
a place not too far from there, Jerry Claus Cosby's, which has been there, you know, before Reconstruction,
forever.
I think. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I don't know if they were selling, you know, slave jerseys, but they seem like they've been there forever, for whatever.
Shit.
But I'm pretty sure I could get an authentic Willis Reed jersey. Now, only thing is, it would probably be a car payment. And, you know,
shit.
I love me some Willis, but, you know, if it comes down to car payment or Willis Reed jersey, God bless you, Willis. God bless you, Willis. I love you.
For the place.
Yeah, yeah. Unless, you know, like Robert Hayes, like Robin Harris, are you going to help out with the car, though? Then you know, we'll move on from there. But, yeah, it is, you know, and that's one thing, the marketing, like you said, has changed so much because, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of, like, you know, old baseball. And, like, I was watching the 71 World Series the other night. I was watching, like, highlights of the very first night
mm-hmm.
game, which I believe was game 4
yeah.
or game 5. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you look at the crowds and whatever, and you don't see a lot of, like, pirate jerseys or pirate paraphernalia
no.
or what have you.
Yeah.
But Now, if you watched any of the Astros Red Sox game yesterday, I mean, it was orange to the point of, all right, already. I get it.
Yes, it was.
You know, it's almost an embarrassing sort of thing. Like, okay, I get it. Y'all are Astro fans. You're going to buy the gear. Okay, I hear you. And, you know, you had the old Astro jerseys. You had the new Astro jerseys. You had the, you know, the ones that definitely looked like that they were made in somebody's basement. But, you know, they're sporting the team no matter, you know, the old logo, the new logo. The new logo in the old colors, the old new logo in new colors. You know, they're all over the place, and you know, all these teams and what have you, they have their pro shops where you can get stuff. My pack. I know the Mets pro shop is literally a stone's throw away from Grand Central Station.
That's true. Yeah.
So
looking at the series again. Your prediction is what we should see. Who are you hoping for in that final?
Well, again, full disclosure, you know, midseason I said the Giants and the White Sox. And, you know, as you can see, as you can see, my percentage was about as good as whatever.
Yeah.
But, look, I'm rooting for, you know, If everything goes, I'm rooting for Dodgers Astros, personally.
Yes.
Maybe more so Astros than the Dodgers, because I want to see. I really want to see Dusty, you know, get his and sort of, you know, go out in the sunset. And what's kind of refreshing.
True. I really don't want to see any other matchup. I want to be able to sit back and watch the games. Let them play the games. Whoever wins, wins. That's all right. But I want to see. I just want to see the two brothers going up against it and giving people the kind of baseball that they used to sit and listen to on the radio. You know,
it's interesting because I listened to a little bit of the game on the radio, the Red Sox Astros game on the radio yesterday, and it was Dan Shulman and Eduardo Perez, you know, Tony Perez's son.
Yep.
And I guess while they were prepping for the game, you know, they speak with the manager before the game, and while Eduardo, you know, all of a sudden, Eduardo gets this is a story they related in the broadcast. Eduardo gets a call from his dad, which is, you know, the Hall of Famer Tony Perez, and. You know, I guess while he's talking with Dusty, he said, "Dusty, I apologize. I'm taking a call from my dad." He says, "Put him on speaker."
Exactly.
And apparently, him, Dusty, and Tony, you know, just basically, you know, shot the shit for the next 15-20 minutes or so. You know, mutual respect and everything like that. And you know, the two of you know, they related how you know. Wow, we got a chance to see, you know, hear two Hall of Famers speak to each other. It was cool. And by the way, you know, now Dusty may not be a Hall of Famer in baseball, but he definitely deserves to be one as a manager. And it was refreshing. Well, see, they unabashedly was like, yeah, the World Series has eluded him, but still, taking five. This is his 11th. Time in the postseason as a manager. He's taken five different teams to the, you know, saying the stuff that we've been saying for the longest and giving him his due. And see, again, I'm always reminded of why it's important to do what we're doing, because I know that there are other folks out there that think the same way we do. It's just that maybe their forum may be out there a little bit more than ours. I mean, we got our followers too. I don't want to diss our fans either. But you know, let's say their numbers a little bit more than ours. But that being said, it was refreshing that both Perez and Dusty had the mutual respect from each other as former ball players that you know went through the wars, and that everyone else there in the moment respected what they've gone through and what their impact is. And again, it just reminds me that, you know, thank goodness we're not the only ones out there that really know what the hell's going on. And again, I think all of us are just hoping that, you know, Johnny Lee Baker Jr. gets there, because to me, that's, you know, he's already a Hall of Fame manager as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, he wins the World Series, then to me, it leaves no doubt. And see, at the end of the day, that's what has to happen with a lot of, you know, black folks, is that leave no doubt. Leave no doubt about that. Because again, they're not going to let you get by on just whatever. But if you leave no doubt, then they look like the fool.
That's exactly right. And as you say that, I'm thinking about Clarence Cito Gaston, you know, who won back-to-back World Series in 92 and 93, and they talk about it like it's the biggest secret in the world because they don't talk about it. And I have to be curious. I know Dusty has the pedigree to get in, but you know baseball and all this better than I do. Have you ever heard anybody say that Cito Gaston deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Outside of Toronto, no. Remember they brought him back. You know, when the franchise, you know, hit rock bottom, sadly, not too long after they won the World Series, they brought him back, and he left on his own. He left on his own terms in both instances, but even more so the second time, because he was, you know, he said, "Hey, I've done what I can do. I'm ready to you know, move on with active life." But see, that's the thing, the sad thing, and we see this a lot in sports where brother can have to go overseas to get love.
Right.
You know, now, I know Toronto ain't really overseas, so to speak, but, you know, you understand. They literally have to go outside of the country that birthed them to get love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when Cito got the job, people was already, you know, whatever. And see, remember, there's only a handful of managers that have won back-to-back World Series.
That's right.
And I don't know if all of them are in the Hall of Fame, but I would think that they probably are. I mean, you know, you got to figure, you know, Torrey's in, you know, Stengel is in, Sparky is in.
Yep.
The Russo is in. Although the Russo went back to back, I don't think he went back to back there. But my point is, I'm sure. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm sure that every World Series manager that's won back to back is either in the Hall of Fame or got serious consideration. And Cito doesn't even get, didn't even get a dinner to coin an old red buttons line.
Yeah, he never got a dinner. Yes, but because I'm going to make a dinner, I'll cut this short. I will leave you with final thoughts, sir.
Well, again, now it's been very early. I mean, you know, but there's a hockey game on every night now.
I know.
And I guess we have ESPN to thank for that, because between, put it this way, I peeked in a little bit on the TNT coverage. You know, it's going to be very interesting. But I think for the most part, if you have at the very least ESPN Plus or what have you, you'll be able to watch hockey, you know, 24/7, 360 hours. I mean, there's going to be a game on. And again, it's not now. It looks like TNT, or should I say Turner Sports, they're going to do more, you know, marquee matchups.
Right.
But they will. But, you know, like they, you know, they started off with Capitals Washington, and then they ended the night with who was it? Was it I forgot.
The Capitals Rangers.
The Capitals Rangers. I'm sorry. I don't even, you know, when you're an Islander fan, you don't even acknowledge those assholes, but that's another that's another story in and of itself. But, you know, ESPN, like ESPN Plus last night had Minnesota and Anaheim.
Yeah.
Now, it looks like they're going to have, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, they'll have everybody, you know, they're going to have everybody on. You know, mm-hmm. they're not going to just whatever. Because I know the other night they had the Canucks game on as well.
Yes.
So
I was watching Canucks Flyers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And of course this is on the and of course, you know, by the time we get back on the air, the NBA will be starting.
This
and
week, yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm interested. Sadly, and I guess we could talk about this more when we're on. But I'm anxious mm-hmm. to see how the whole Ben Simmons thing is going to play out because
personally, there's some serious drama going on out here.
Personally, I would not give up on him. I understand why both sides are basically, you know, claiming irreconcilable differences right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that is looking so much like trading Chamberlain at the height of his career right now. Now, again, he hasn't
mm-hmm.
done anything to merit even being mentioned with Wilt Chamberlain yet in his career.
No, exactly.
But that. Mm-mm. But with that being said,
I see the similarity to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I'd really hate to give up on something. Because, see, look, they're both, let's be honest, they're both being little bitches about this.
True.
Both the franchise and Ben. Let's just call it what it is. That being said, all the more reason why you need to get this thing right.
Yep.
Because I think he's worth salvaging. I think they have both sort of outmaneuvered each other to the point now where nobody else in the league wants to sort of deal with them.
Yeah.
So they may just be forced. They literally may be forced to deal with each other for at least another year or so.
True.
But
when the price comes down, in terms of free agent, unrestricted.
Put it this way. I know it's cliche, but a lot of times the best trade you make is the one you don't make.
You're right. They'll have to ponder that one, though, T. I have to give Gary some love because Gary is still on assignment as they are working out maintenance situations. But because of his love for the Raiders, we're going to close with this little ditty. Sunday, we will not know whether or not Gary has got his music thing up. If he comes on and everything's all right from a maintenance standpoint, we will announce that. But otherwise, we'll see you Monday musically with the Music Therapy Mind Stream at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 on the Pacific Coast. For Gary and all the true Raider fans who don't buy into this Gruden bullshit, this is for you.
A new mystique. Raider football in its finest. We don't quit.